Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Today's show from Radio Row brought to you by NHTSA. If you think a train will stop if it sees your car on the tracks, you're right. It will, about a mile after it hits you. Stop. Trains can't. All right, so we're inside the convention center, and obviously just a stone's throw away, you got the Alamo Dome, the site of the national semifinal Saturday, championship game on Monday, a few surprises, a couple of blue bloods, the usual mixed bag, and we've had a great show so far today. Teak, we're joined by Fran McCaffrey, and we were just talking before Coach put the headsets on, and it's one of these things, you know, I would have been, oh yeah, he's been at Iowa, you know, 5 years, here we are, basically 8 years, it's going quick, Coach, what's happening?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a big move for our family. We were settling in Siena, you know, loved it there. You have an opportunity to coach in the Big Ten at a BCS program with a tradition of University of Iowa's basketball. I mean, I was thrilled for that chance. I was fortunate. I walked into a renovation going on of our facility, a practice facility. A lot of coaches go in and they have to fight. Mm-hmm. We had already had the money approved. The hole was dug. I didn't have it year one, but I had it every year since then.
That's big.
It's been a huge impact. Guys are in the, you know, you're trying to find your guy. They're in the gym. They're grinding. They're getting 1,000 shots up a day. You know, we do a lot of individual skill development stuff in there. And then, you know, I have two boys. One played, was a freshman for me, and one's actually here playing with an NBA / USA basketball initiative. They're in there all the time.
Yeah.
I'm working them out on Christmas Day. So pretty fortunate to be able to have that kind of facility. Incredible fan base, and just very thankful to be able to coach at this level.
Nice.
It's a challenge, but it's exciting.
Yeah, and the Big Ten is tough, and it's a challenge. You guys missed the tournament this year. You were in the NIT last year. The year before that and the previous year, you guys were in the NCAA tournament. What's been the challenge at Iowa for you? Tough season this year. 4-14 in the Big Ten.
You know, what was interesting is we won 19 games last year. Mm-hmm. We were the last team out.
That's never a good feeling.
We were 69 last year. Well, we had most of those guys back. Now, we did lose Peter Jock, who led the Big Ten in scoring. Never good to lose a guy who won the Big Ten in scoring. But I think we felt we'd do better. We missed on some of the intangibles, I think. But we did have a really young team. We have four double-figure scorers coming back. Tyler Cook did put his name in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hope it all works out. We hope he becomes a millionaire.
Yeah.
But the good thing is now he has the ability to get the necessary feedback to make the right decision.
Yeah, the process, as long as you don't hire an agent, you can stick your name in there. They'll determine where they think you're going to get drafted.
And they'll be honest with you. They will give you real honest assessments.
They have to be honest with you because otherwise these kids
I was really impressed. Peter Jock did it, Tiki, like you said. And, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. I'll tell you what I'm going to come back. I'm going to lead the Big Ten in scoring. That's exactly what he did. You know, Tyler, we'll see what they say. And even if they say, hey, we don't think you're going to be drafted, and he might. Mm-hmm. He's pretty darn good. You know, he has the ability maybe to still go to Chicago. He has the ability to go do individual workouts, interview, go through that process.
Yep.
And so if he decides to come back and do that next year, he will have had the opportunity to kind of be through it.
Coach, I think I think it might be the best story. I was going to say one of. I think that's shortchanging it. And I don't know if everybody's aware of it. I know Teak and I discussed it briefly, but when it went down, a player that all Iowa fans know, Chris Street, back in the early 90s, died in a car accident.
Correct.
And one of your players on the team now, Bohannon, I think, right?
Jordan Bohannon, yes.
Was a free throw away from breaking that record, which would, in essence, push him into second. He's no longer with us, Chris Street. Second into record book. The awareness and the fortitude, the moral compass to willingly and purposely miss that shot so that Chris Street's name could stay atop the record book was one of the classiest, most amazing gestures that I've ever seen from a young man. Great. What awareness by that man.
I'll tell you what, I think everybody in the building, you know, had chills. He talked it over with his brother and said, this is what we're going to do. And I struggled, quite honestly, with maybe suggesting that to him.
But you didn't suggest it
I
to him,
not.
Right? You did not bring it up to him.
I did not.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what the situation would be. We were up 8 with 2:15 to go. You know, you kind of want to go up 10.
Yeah, I hear you. You're almost in a situation where it's like, I don't know if we can afford not to make this shot. No,
but,
I hear you.
You know, but he missed it. He said, we're going to win the game. When we did, we won the game anyway. And then what happened right after that game, because Chris's parents were at the game.
Yeah.
So they came down on the floor, and I was talking to Mike and Patty, as was my wife, and Jordan was getting interviewed. He came over. The hug and embrace that he had with Chris Street's mother was, I'll tell you what, we were all in tears.
Yeah, I saw it.
My wife had to carry her up the tunnel. Oh, she was just an emotional wreck. And so sort of overwhelmed at this act of kindness. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, Chris never got to shoot 35.
Yeah.
Who knows what that record might have been.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he's a legend in our state because he's an Iowa kid who everyone knows would have had probably a 10 to 12 year NBA career. He was that good. And he's just coming home from a team meal midway through his sophomore, and it ends that quickly.
Yeah. Fragile. Life is very fragile.
Very fragile.
That really was amazing. Fran McCaffrey with us here, head coach of Iowa. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Fran, a couple questions about the Big Ten tournament. You guys moved it, the conference moved it a week earlier, so you had the week off before the NCAA. And the talk was it was going to have an effect. It doesn't seem like it's had an effect because Michigan, who you guys lost to in the tournament, has gone on this amazing run. They haven't lost, I feel like, for a month and a half now. But do you think that that's the right move for the Big Ten, to move it to Madison Square Garden? It doesn't feel like it's the organic, I don't know, home venue for a tournament for the Big Ten. You know what I mean?
I think what we all recognize, including our commissioner, that it wasn't the right move. I would say more so that we moved it up a week than that we played it at the Garden. Because now you think about all the conferences. Mm-hmm. You know, the Big East has as many schools in the Midwest as are from the East.
Yeah, and realignment's changed everything.
Right, we have three schools in the East in our league. And Jim Delaney's always said, you know, we don't visit there, we live there. We have an office in Midtown. So I think taking a tournament to the Garden is sort of never a bad idea. Right? We're going to play our tournament in the Garden. And it was well attended, and it showed well on television. But I think the condensed schedule and the one-day preps, and you can appreciate that, had impact on maybe another team or two getting in, perhaps.
You mean residually based on
starting
the regular? One of the teams, I think it was maybe Northwestern, played 4 conference games in 17 days.
Yeah.
That's not the way it's supposed to be at this level.
And then they had a couple injuries.
Yep.
So it just sort of took them out of the race. You look at Nebraska and Penn State this year, were borderline tournament teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
know, they
like
were.
Maybe we get one or two in that we didn't get in. So I think, you know, it was an experiment that I think that was worthwhile. I enjoy going to New York. I enjoy our team playing in the Garden.
Well, of course you do. I know you wind up at Del Frisco's with your friend Jeannie Willis. I know where you're going after the games.
Exactly where we're going. But you know, I think moving forward, you know, I could see it maybe moving from Chicago and Indianapolis. We kind of go back and forth.
Yeah,
I heard Detroit mentioned, for example, as a possibility.
Oh, the new Pistons Arena, Caesars.
Yeah, I could see.
Caesars?
I could see us going there.
Okay,
but other than that, we'll probably stay in the Midwest. I'm guessing.
When you first went to Iowa? I'm a Mac graduate. I went to Marist. Went to Marist.
Yep.
And as we said at the start, you know, Coach really made his bones at Siena, which is a very good academic school like Marist. Very great. Louis Orr was a coach there, played in the NBA for those who might not know.
Paul
Coach
Hewitt,
Hall as well.
Mike
Coach
Dean.
Paul Hewitt, long, long lineage of coaches at Siena. When you go to a school like, when you make that kind of a jump, you know, we always talk about players making a jump from maybe A ball to AAA in baseball or from the, you know, the Big Ten to the NBA. What's it like to make the jump as a coach from a mid-major conference to a power conference? Is it as daunting as it seems?
I was a veteran coach, but it's daunting in the sense that it impacts everything. So, okay, can I X and O with Tom Izzo, John Beilein, et cetera? Can I recruit the high-level athletes that we need? Because I know what we need.
Yeah.
Can I get the guy that Tom Izzo wants, the guy that John Beilein wants? You know, Thad had it going at Ohio State at the time.
Yeah,
and then Maryland
did.
Comes into the league. Mm-hmm. They're a major player.
Watch out for Rutgers. Pikel can coach.
Well, he's done as good a job from a coaching standpoint as anybody that's come into our league in a while. Fan base getting re-energized. But the thing about the league that's interesting, that it's different from a lot of other leagues, is we will spend money. So if a team is at the bottom, we'll spend money to improve, whether it be from a facility standpoint, how we recruit, access to airplanes, things like that. Whereas in the MAC, if a team's in seventh place, their budget's going to be about the same as it was last year.
It's a bus league as well.
It's a bus league. But, you know, I say to people, Nebraska has as good a facility as anybody in the country in basketball, and people are shocked. But if you've been to a game there, they saw it every game. It's a beautiful facility. You know, if you've been to Carver-Hawkeye Arena, we renovated it right before I got there, like right as I got there, as I said.
Yep.
Unbelievable fan base. And you go right on down the line. It's the same way at every institution. So everywhere you turn, they're spending money. They have an accomplished veteran coach with a proven track record and the ability to recruit the best players in the country. And that's really difficult because, you know, it's a fine line. I looked at our numbers. We won 19 last year. We lost 19 this year. And our numbers across the board were about the same.
You mean in terms of, like, defensive efficiency, shooting, points shoot, per game, shooting?
Right.
Gotcha.
Maybe defensive efficiency would have been a problem. But 49% from the field, 39 from three, plus five on the glass, plus 200 assists versus turnovers. Like all those key offensive numbers were better this year. So, you know, that's the challenge, and I guess that's the fun of it eventually.
Okay, there you go. You know, Fran McCaffrey, by the way, the head coach of Iowa, with us here.
Let's talk about Michigan. Now, you guys took them to overtime in the Big Ten tournament. You end up losing by eight. Michigan's gone on this run now. Here they are sitting right at the precipice of getting into another final. What has made John Beilein so good this season with this squad, who I don't think a lot of us nationally thought had a chance to be at this point at the beginning of the season?
Well, I think there's a couple things. They defend, and they don't make mistakes. It's a very unselfish team. If you watch them move the ball, extra pass, in and out, everybody's a willing passer. Everybody can dribble the ball, and pretty much everybody can make threes. So they have you spread out. Now, I think the emergence of Simpson, and he had his coming out party early against us. He had a 15-point game.
He sent you a thank you note, Beilein?
You know, I think one of the guys that nobody talks about nationally is Abdul-Rahman. I'm a big fan of his. He came into the league, he was good. He was a little bit better, sophomore, a little bit better. Senior year, he was a star. So they play him, he brings it down, they move him to the off guard, but they post him up. He drives and kicks, he makes threes, he makes big shots. Charles Matthews, incredibly versatile. But they basically play with four guards all the time. Duncan Robinson, fifth-year guy. I mean, you're in the game, you're in the game, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 they hit two, three threes, and you're down seven. And they're not going to turn it over. The only vulnerability that I've seen is a little bit of free throw shooting at the end. You know, they make their free throws. They're hard to beat.
Coach, I know you're doing something with Coaches versus Cancer, linked up with Wilson. Why don't you tell us what you got going on before you bounce?
Well, I just finished We obviously, this is a busy time. We're all at one place. Mm-hmm. So our Coaches versus Cancer Council meets here. We just filmed a number of different segments downstairs. I'm going to meet the National American Cancer Society people tonight. There's another function tomorrow night. And essentially what we're trying to do is galvanize our community to interact with the corporate community to bring everybody together and ultimately raise money and raise awareness. We, for you know, ourselves, my wife and I have our own event in Iowa City. There's another event in Des Moines with all four Division I schools. You see the same thing in Philadelphia. You see what Jim Boeheim is doing. Bo Ryan just made a $500,000 contribution.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Norm Stewart got cancer about 25 years ago coaching the University of Missouri, and he came up with this idea. And the amount of money that we've raised and the amount of birthdays that we've created for people that wouldn't have had them is heartwarming. And every year, more and more of us get involved. Stevie Donahue was downstairs. Brad Underwood was downstairs. Natalie Morrison runs it on a national level. Scotty Thompson, the former coach at Cornell, former coach at Rice. So We're just attacking this thing like we would, you know, 1-2-2 press.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. We're going full bore. And, you know, like I said, a couple years ago when my son was diagnosed with cancer, the way this community rallied around my family mm-hmm. was amazing. I'll never forget the day that Chris Paul called him on the telephone and said, "Man, you're gonna get through this."
Wow!
I mean, how great is that? Yeah. I mean, this doesn't get any better than that.
There's no limits to the human soul when people are engaged and doing the
exactly.
right thing. There's no doubt.
Exactly.
Right. Coach, great seeing you again.
Hey,
thank
great
you very
to see
much.
You guys. Always a pleasure.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.